Where did the name come from, Little Margaret?
Well, Little Margaret was my Canadian girlfriend that I met less than a month after I joined the Canadian Air Force, because I knew her brother rather well. And sometime after the invasion of 1944, the Normandy invasion, I was sent home on a 30-day R&R, that is rest and recuperation. I had had quite a bit of combat time, and had been overseas quite a while as compared to most of the other U.S. Air Force pilots. And so I was sent home. Well, the first thing I did was marry my dear sweetheart. And I had named my Canadian airplane Margaret at the beginning. When I transferred to the American Air Force, I named the second one Little Margaret, and then the third one, and then the fourth one. Fortunately, the second airplane that I named in the USAF, was shot down. So when I got my Mustang D, I put the name up and it stayed there, and it lived through the war. I would imagine that it flew at least 700-800 missions over the period that we had the airplane. But of course, I was very fortunate to get a chance to fly the airplane that had my name on it. It doesn't mean a thing in a squadron when you when your name is on an airplane. You're just lucky if you get to fly.
We're going to finish up here in a few minutes, but before I do, we got time for a couple of questions, so be thinking about your questions. Colonel East is going to be over here in the Warbirds gift shop area in the far right-hand corner for autographs after we finish up. So right now, does anybody in the audience have a question for Colonel East or for Butch? If so, John's got a microphone right here. Anybody have a question?
The lady you had your picture taken with.
Butch, you said that you have little Margaret home, but you didn't tell us where home is for you. You told us where she was, you know, St. Louis, California, all over the place. And then you said you took her home. Where are you from?
Well, I am from Virginia. Little Margaret was born and raised in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And I met her in Canada, loved her in Canada, married her in Canada.
Anybody else have a question?
Just a quick response to the lady. I'm from a small town in Illinois called Danville. I'm the third generation to be born and raised there.
What's the difference between an F-4, I'm sorry, an F-6 and a P-51?
There's basically no difference other than the fact that the F-6, which this is been equipped with photo reconnaissance cameras.
He's coming.
A question for you, Colonel. Were you based out of England and flying over Germany? And if so, what was it like navigating back to your home base through that wonderful England weather?
Where were you based in England? Talk about the weather.
I was always, fortunately, after I became operationally ready and could fly combat, I was fortunately in southern England, which was a very short distance from France, Belgium, and Holland, and that was where most of my missions went into when I was flying out of England. But of course, once we got into Europe, you only came back to your regular base. I'm not sure that answers your question.
Yeah, he asked about the wonderful English weather. How did you navigate?
It was a sort of hit and miss as compared to the situation here today. You could head back and call your tower and ask them what the weather is. That was always the first question. And if he said it was, something like 301, which means 300 feet visibility and 300 feet ceiling and 1 mile visibility, that meant you were going to have to take a chance if you wanted to land there. Normally, you'd go somewhere else. But British weather was always a problem, and unfortunately, a lot of people were wrecked airplanes and themselves in trying to get into bases that were closed in. But sometimes there was no choice. You had to bail out and just leave the airplane in order to survive.
Anybody else?
Yes. How do you compare the flight capabilities of the German airplanes and the skill of the pilots compared to the Mustangs?
Well, my answer to that is that after I had gone through my training program and had received the training that was given the normal fighter pilot, although I was assigned to a reconnaissance squadron, I was fairly competent. But when you think of the German Air Force at that time, with the Mustangs flying regularly, they were wiping out the best blood of the German Air Force. And consequently, most of the pilots that I ran up against, they were not very capable. And consequently, with a Mustang, which is a better airplane than they had, I could get all over them without any problem. And they knew it. A lot of the German pilots, when they would see a Mustang coming in on them, would bail in because they knew that they didn't stand a chance.
It's common knowledge at the end of the war that the Germans were producing more airplanes than they had pilots available. They had a great capacity right up to the end of the war. Anybody else have a question?
Colonel East, I have one question. When you were flying in Europe during World War II, were your reconnaissance missions flown as a flight or solo?
We had a flight of two. The leader had the responsibility for doing the reconnaissance. And he looked at the ground and attempted to do the best job he could of seeking out those things that were important to the ground forces. And the number two guy, he was on the wing, and he was supposed to look out for airplanes. And consequently, it was not a any question. I always pick the guy with the best eyes to fly with me.
We're going to end up now. I want to thank you all for showing up today and watching Warbirds in Review. We'll see you back here at 10 o'clock in the morning, same time, same place. Again, I want to thank my friends, my new friend, Colonel Clyde East, and our old friend, Butch Schroeder.
Thank you.
Great. Enjoy that. Were you flying F-6s?